Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Thank you, Pastor Brad and Allison, for inviting Nina and myself. We just feel that there's just a great spirit, and I take it the responsibility seriously to speak about subjects as tender as divorce, surviving family breakdown, marriage, parenting. You know, they're difficult subjects. And so I thank you for giving me the opportunity, for listening for what it is that God wants to say. So let's pray. Father, I pray that you would use me tonight to bring healing, to bring hope, O God. Father, let the words that I say be used by you, O God. Father, that song we just sang, you are the one who picks up the pieces, O God. And Father, no matter how broken something is, no matter how horrible it is, what it is that we have gone through, O Lord, you can pick up the pieces. You can make something beautiful, O God. And that, Father, that is the good news, that you can take that which was captive, you can take that which was in a bad state and do something great with it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You know, this week, if you looked at the cause list of the family court in Sydney, you would see that there were 250 marriages that ended in divorce. That's 500 individuals who just this week have been touched by divorce. Now, if you actually think about that, they would have an average of 2 children each. We're now up to 1,500 people directly touched by divorce just this week. You can double that again if you count immediate family members like mums and dads, brothers, sisters affected. So just at a minimum, 3,000 people were affected by divorce. And you can double it again by the people that they work with, the people that they are at school with, all the different things that go on, 6,000 people this week in Sydney have been touched by divorce. It's quite staggering, really. And that's just this week. It will happen again next week, and the week after that, and the week after that. And so we as a church have a responsibility to be able to help people when they come to that place. So maybe you've got a fantastic marriage. Divorce has never been an issue for you. It's not something you're contemplating. Everything's great. Your family's wonderful. All of those things. But trust me, you're going to meet someone. Maybe not this week, maybe not the next. But you're going to come into contact with someone who has been affected by divorce. And so tonight I want to help you help someone and bring back hope and kind of make smaller the long-lasting impacts of divorce. I actually like the word family breakdown. I think divorce is a very cold term, and so I'm going to interchange that a little bit today. You know, hopefully you never have to personally deal with separation and divorce, but you are going to help someone else deal with that. And I want to give you some understanding. To be honest, the church as a whole hasn't always done well in this area. Divorce family breakdown is something that we associate with failure and sin, and we've tended to cast judgment and we've tended to cast blame. You know, to be honest, in my own journey, I didn't even think that it was something the church needed to deal with. In the little cocoon of my head, the church didn't even have many divorced people in my thoughts. And one Christmas time, I had a rude awakening to my own carelessness, bias, and ignorance. I was pastoring a fairly sizable group of people at the church I was at, and we were asked to give a list of the single parents in our area who we could give a food parcel for, that we could give a food hamper for Christmas. To be honest, I just thought, oh, there's not many in my area. And then I started to go through my list and I realized I knew every one of them. I knew of their circumstance, but I hadn't looked at it as a collective. And I saw that just in the area that I was looking after, there were 30 single parents in that place. And so I decided, I'm shocked. How did I not notice that? How did I not see that? How did I kind of just look over the top of a very obvious need that was going? And so I decided, I've got a minister. I have a responsibility to actually help these people. To be brutally honest, and I'm not proud of this, but I judged them. I kind of thought they must be weak people. People should have tried harder. If they were real Christians, they would have found a way. I never expressed that to them, but in the heart of hearts, that's how I was thinking. I had a measure of compassion for their circumstance, but I kind of thought they put themselves into those circumstances. What a terrible pastor I was. One who's supposed to come alongside, one who's supposed to bring encouragement and hope. Here I am in this sense of judgment, and it was just terrible. Nina and I were then asked to start a ministry called 30-something. In our minds, we were just going to start this cool group for people who are 30 and over, and it was just going to be like an older version of a youth group. It's just going to be excellent. We're going to have fun. It's going to be just amazing. But something happened. It wasn't like that. All of a sudden, I'm dealing with about 70% of the group made up by people who were divorced or separated, going through the pain of family breakdown. It just hit me. These judgments that I'd once had were very much challenged. I'm seeing some great people. I'm seeing some people who loved God. I'm seeing some people who were smart. I'm seeing some people who had some resilience. I'm seeing some people who had integrity and who had some grit and who had some push through. And I want to tell you, they were smashed people. They were people who were hurting. They were people who were bleeding. And I found myself in this group of people so ill-equipped to actually deal with what was actually happening. I realized my own biasness. I realized my own ineptitude. And I looked at these really good people who sometimes were making some bad decisions. You know, at that time, I didn't even believe in counseling. I just thought, you're a new creation. Everything's sorted out at salvation. You don't need to renew your mind. That's all just other stuff. You know, like, it's just like, I'm a new creation. Behold, all things are new. I don't need to go to counseling. I don't need to do any of those things. Why does that really help someone? That's just someone who can't really cope. So judgmental. I can't even believe I ever thought like that. How dumb could I be and still breathe? And I was these poor people's pastor, unable to help, really because of bias and ignorance. And then it hit me. These are the very people that God wants to minister to. These are the very people that God wants to draw near to. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to those who are brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Has there ever been a more perfect description of someone who's gone through the pain of family breakdown? They're brokenhearted and they're crushed in spirit, and my Bible tells me that God is close to them. And so if I can be the one that God's going to speak to, if I can be the one that God is going to use to bring my arm around and an ear to listen and some practical help, let me tell you, I'm going to be that one. God wants to use you so that He can be close to those who are broken, that He can be close to those who are brokenhearted, who are crushed in spirit. These people are brokenhearted, and I want to tell you, it's the job of the church to show them how close God is at a time when they feel so isolated and alone. I need to do that. The church needs to love those who are crushed in spirit, who are feeling brokenhearted. It's not the church's place to marginalize, to judge them. That's not the heart of God at all. So if you're here tonight and in some place, somewhere, the church has hurt you, the church has rejected you, the church has judged you, the church has had a bias against you, I just want to say, I'm sorry. I want to apologize on behalf of the church. That's not the heart of God. God has never wanted to reject you. God has never judged you. God has never blamed you. God is drawing close to you. So I apologize on behalf of people who may have thought they were doing good and really didn't have the capacity to actually do something. I want to say sorry to you. You know, I needed something to help these people because I didn't actually have the capacity to do that in myself. And to be honest, there was very little resource around. I'd go to different bookshops, I'd look online, and eventually I found a course called Divorce Care. I studied it, I looked at it, and it was in this magazine format, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful course. I thought that I would start one of these courses. Now, it's very interesting because being married to Nina is probably the easiest thing that I do. I never considered divorce, never wished I was divorced, never wished I'd married someone else, and yet God was using us because we gave an example, we gave an area of safety to these people. And so we started this group, and I remember very clearly, it was in our lounge room, and we probably had about, 12 people. And what the course said, they go, what you need to do is get everyone to tell their story on the first night. Watch the video and then everyone tell the first story. Yeah, I can do that. No problem. Easy. That's a piece of cake. Right? So we watch the video. It's nice. We start telling the story. One guy just, like even now I get emotional when I tell these stories. Like one guy just tells us how his wife just said, I just don't love you anymore. I just don't love you. The love that I had is just gone. I just don't love you anymore. And he told the story of that rejection. Another girl got up and told how her husband used to just beat her. Another one got up and told how her husband had just had multiple affairs. One just got up and just said, I wasn't able to have children, so my husband just left me. And I just heard story after story, and I'm just weeping. They're just weeping. We're all just weeping. And then I thought, what have I done? I've opened up this massive wound and I have no capacity to help them. And so what we would do is that we would pray and we'd speak encouragement and I'd put a little bit of balm essentially on that wound and then they'd come back next week. And we open up the wound a little bit more and we take some of the poison out and take some of the infection out and we put some more balm on. And then it would be a little bit more healed. And over a period of time, we were able to see healing come. I want to tell you, there is no instant answer. There is no instant magic prayer that I can just pray over you and that all of a sudden it's going to be better. It doesn't happen like that. But over time, putting in the principles of the Word of God, being with the right people around you, making some good and slow decisions, all of a sudden you can have hope, you can have a future again. You can start to build and rebuild a life. Why does divorce hurt so much? Genesis 2:24 says this, right at the beginning, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. So we use the word separation, but the true thing is it's a tearing apart. There are two people who have become one, and they tear apart, and there's little bits of them, and there's little bits of you in the other. And so it's something that if you just tear something apart, it cannot just be nicely fitted back together again. You don't separate, you tear, and there's many hanging threads. Scientists show that in a relationship breakdown, the same area of the brain is stimulated as a heroin addict seeking out a fix. It's a painful, driving, domineering thing that's in your spirit, and I believe it's one of the hardest, if not the hardest, things a human can go through. Family breakdown represents loss in so many areas. There's a loss of a companion, loss of dreams, loss of hope, loss of friends, loss of finance, loss of children, loss of family involvements, time, and every single day you discover a new loss. No one enters into marriage except in Hollywood, I think, right, thinking, we'll give this a couple of years, see how it goes. If it doesn't work out, we'll just see what happens next, right? That's not how we get married. When we get married, we walk down the aisle, we wait at the end of the aisle, and we think like a fairy tale, happy ever after. That's our dream, that's our goal. And when divorce and separation happen, it's a totally unhoped for end. Divorce and separation hurts on every level, body, soul, and spirit. People feel a tremendous sense of alienation. What do people think? What are they saying about me? You think everyone is speaking about it. Their family and their friends, they don't really know how to act. So as a person going through a family breakdown, they don't only feel lonely, but they feel a great sense of aloneness. You used to be John and Mary. Now you're just John. Now you're just Mary. People are used to dealing with you as a couple, but now they have to deal with you as a single and somehow do that without damaging the friendship with the other one. Because they were friendship of two of you, now they've got to try and work that out, and sometimes they'll just leave because it's all just too hard. People want to be friends with both of you, and sometimes the person just wants them to take sides. And no one around the separated person really understands their pain, because for everyone, it's different. How your pain is different to the other person. You know, when my father died, and many times people just go, why don't you just get over it? Get another one, get another guy, another girl. And they give such foolish advice. When my father died, I was able to go to the funeral. And even today, I can go to his grave and I can have a little chat. But there's a finishing to it. I can say goodbye to the one that I lost. You know, death is a horrible and tragic part of life, but it is part of life. And so we understand that. We don't like it, it's horrible, but we understand that. It's not the same with family breakdown. When divorce and separation happen, there isn't that goodbye. There's just constant reminders that bring home and compound your loss. You might just see a yellow car and it'll remind you, we bought a yellow car together. You might hear a song on the radio. Someone will say something intense or something will just remind you insensitive. And so what happens is that you're constantly living on edge. Am I going to be attacked by these feelings of grief, of feelings of loss, feelings of like I'm not in control? A person going through divorce and separations, their energy levels aren't the same either. You know, when everything's going right, just like an engine, we have mental energy, spiritual energy, physical energy, and emotional energy. So what happens when you go through a separation and divorce, 80% of your energy is taken emotionally, right? It's all emotional. So you're trying to read a book and you can't even read hardly anything. You know, we give people a 6-week daily Bible reading, but the Bible reading is really only about a minute long because that's all they can handle. They can't handle any more than that. And so they're struggling at work, they're struggling remembering things, they're struggling reading because everything is taken emotionally. One moment they're laughing, ha ha ha, and the next minute they're just weeping, feeling like everything is just terrible. And so what happens is that people don't actually need healing from family breakdown. They need stabilization. That's what you need. You need to get stable again. You need to bring those energy levels back to even, that mental, spiritual, physical, and emotional energy are the same. Once again, there's no sense in letting an emotional tornado just continue ruining. So what you need to do is get stability, and that takes time. Person gets angry when going through divorce, and there's good reasons. It's actually an emotion of self-preservation and stems from rejection because a person's self-worth has been attacked, their needs overlooked, and their ideals shattered. You know, they get angry because when their sense of self-worth came from their affirmation from a partner or from being with someone, it's now no longer like that. They get angry because they feel that others are trying to control and manipulate them. They get angry when things don't work out the way that they thought they would. And men and women going through family breakdown get angry because their pride has been hurt. There's fear of the unknown, loneliness, and feelings of inferiority take over. It's a minefield, people. That's why we've got to be loving and caring and compassionate. This is not something easy. This is not something that you just get over. This is something you've got to work through over time. You know, you actually have a right to get angry because terrible things have happened, right? To sit here and say, don't be angry, that's not right. But I want to say, don't let anger become your defining emotion. Don't be John. Now, since he got separated, he's just angry all the time. Because one of the things with that is that when you actually need people around you, your demeanor pushes people away. You know, many times that anger can then move into depression. Depression can happen for many and varied reasons, but at many times through divorce, it's actually as a result of undealt with anger. And that's why it's important to take control of your anger. Depression is a natural reaction to loss. And in family breakdown, that is one of the great things. It's loss, loss, loss. The greater the loss, the greater the depression. Symptoms of depression are feeling unconnected, a profound sense of sadness, hopelessness, pessimism, worthlessness, not enjoying favorite activities, disturbed sleeping patterns, change in eating habits, loss of energy, entertaining thoughts of suicide, restlessness, and being unable to concentrate on things. When you're depressed, you need to identify what it is that you have lost and then accept it. This is really and really important. This is very, very important. A person going through divorce needs to accept that their marriage isn't working, even if they are believing for it to be restored. You need to accept that right now, it is not where I want it to be. So instead of just letting it all overwhelm me and rush over me, I'm going to take little baby steps. I'm going to take little small steps, and I'm going to try and get a little bit of custody of myself again. We need to put the loss in perspective. You need to see your whole life as the plan of God rather than this moment of time, no matter how terrible it is. It is not what your life is going to be known for. It's just an incident of your life. And I don't mean to be flippant when I say that today. You know, there's some effective little ways that can help with depression. Things like writing down on a piece of paper the things that trigger a real episode of depression, right? So you actually start to challenge those thoughts. You need to catch those thoughts and you need to say something positive no matter how small it is. You need to eliminate untrue beliefs. You know, many people going through divorce feel like they have a big F on their forehead for failure. They feel like they're a failure. But I want to tell you, in God's eyes, no one is a failure. A failure in one circumstance of your life doesn't mean you are a failure. And irrational thoughts, they kind of feed depression. No one cares. It's not actually true. People do care. God is mad with me. No, he's not. He loves you. He's drawing near to you right now. If I just kill myself, they'll know how much I hurt them. It is a bad thought and something that needs to be rejected. You need to dump these thoughts. And you do that by becoming accountable to someone. You know, one of the best ways to survive divorce and separation is to make same-sex friends that will encourage you at the right time when you need it. We live in a couples-orientated society and divorce makes you feel isolated. You actually have to start to live a different life to what you were living. And because maybe many of your old friends are friends of you both, you have to start to make some new friends. Sometimes people will try and say, I just need another relationship, which I'll talk about in just a moment. But the answer to loneliness is actually same-sex friends, not a new relationship. Probably the worst and most visible consequence of separation is the effect it has on children. Kids are the real victims of divorce and it's always damaging. Parents can leave each other, but they will always be the child's father or the child's mother. Many people getting divorced ruse the rationale that is better for the kids, but that's rarely the case. And every child is affected. The best advice I can give for parents who are going through single parenting is parent your children. Don't just provide for them. Parent them. Stay involved in their lives as much as you can. Custodial parents, except in the most extreme of circumstances, you should always allow visitation. A single parent home is often called a broken home, but this doesn't have to be. It can be a great home where your children can grow and become successful adults. And just for example, every single parent home is an awesome place to teach your children moral responsibility, because it's do as I do, not do as I say, because you are your child's best example. Don't give up on your future. Don't allow resignation to rule your spirit. I've seen so many people live amazing and great productive lives. It's an incident of your life. It's not your life. I've seen people take on study, new jobs, new thought processes, new attitudes. And let me tell you, they rebuild their lives and they live great and wonderful lives. Get hold of your future again. Instead of seeing it just being past, get hold of your future. And that's where a promise of God is so powerful. 1 Peter says, a promise of God gets us to work and live in our divine nature. It activates our divine nature. Now, the Bible says in Malachi 2:16, God hates divorce. This is a strong statement, but is indicative of how many people feel the church sees divorce. Because for many centuries, it's how the church did, and they judge people. For many years, the church read it as God hates the divorcee. Nothing could be further from the truth. In the context of the scripture, it was actually had a heart behind it. It was saying that these people were saying, well, we married these people who are not Jews. We want to do what's right by God. We're going to marry people who are Jewish. So they divorced these people, left them to no help, nothing that were going to be looked after. And they went and married Jewish people. And God said, that's not how it should be. That's not how it should be. You should never just leave those people. And that's why he hated divorce. He hates not the divorcee. He hates all the pain and the trouble and the issues that it causes. You know, a difficult marriage is many times better than an easy divorce. In a study of 30,000 couples in Germany, they found that 70%, 5 years after the divorce, said that if they knew what they knew, 30,000 couples, if they knew what they knew, if they knew what they were getting into, they would have tried to keep things going. God loves us so much. He doesn't want us to go through all that trouble and strife. I liken it to jumping a fence, because you've been chased by a dog and then what happens, you're in a place that has two dogs. Might seem as if you're getting out of something, but you're actually getting into something worse. When a couple separates, many people believe that divorce is inevitable. But that doesn't need to be the case. There can be reconciliation. Reconciliation will keep the heritage of your marriage going. It will reduce the stress in your life. Your children most definitely want it. It makes sound economic sense and it will help stabilize your energy levels. And let me tell you, God wants it. You know, sometimes if the partner's moved on and remarried, reconciliation may just mean that there's harmony. And instead of fighting and anger and trouble, there is actually harmony. You know, you can heal. And I'm sure there are many people here that have actually healed from the pain of divorce. Many people, when they have a divorce or they have a separation, they kind of think to themselves, oh, I lost this. So if I get that and replaces it with another relationship, that'll help. But it doesn't always work that way. If you're not ready, if it's premature, you're only going to hurt yourself more. You're only going to hurt. It's like giving a pain-killing injection to a broken leg. You actually have to do something to bring healing rather than just try and hope the pain goes away. See, what happens is that like a relationship of marriage requires two people. But if you haven't healed, if you haven't yet stable from divorce, you're actually coming into that relationship with three people. There's still that person inside of you, and all of a sudden you're trying to have this relationship and make it work when there's three people in the relationship, and it will never, ever work. 38% of first marriages end in divorce. This is Australian statistics. 72% of second marriages fail, and it's 80% if it's within 3 years, right? Now, if I had a beautiful new car and I told you that I would sell it to you for $10,000, you go, what a great bargain. But if I told you there was a 72% chance that it was going to blow up, you think, oh, hang on, I don't know if I want to spend that $10,000. I want to tell you, a subsequent relationship if it's not right, will cost you a whole lot more than $10,000. People always ask me, how do you know when it's time to look for someone else? Right, how do you know it's time to move on? Well, first of all, if you're not actually divorced, you won't be moving on, right? Wait till you're actually divorced. God's not going to give you a desire for someone while you're still married. You may have one, but you created it. It wasn't given to you by God. The day before you got married, you were single. The day before you got divorced, you were married. So if you still haven't gone through the divorce process, then don't be getting involved. I actually think it's one of the ways in which that helps us getting involved in another relationship. I've got the time to deal with myself, worked on myself, become the person that God would have on myself, and I don't need to kind of just, you know, make things harder by being with someone else. But once you're divorced, how do you know? My answer is weird, but it's true. And it's this. If you don't know that it's time to move on, if you don't know that you know, then it's not time to move on. Right? If you can't be sure that it's time to move on, it's not time to move on. You need to spend that time working on yourselves. You know, God's math is not actually correct. It says 1 + 1 = 1. It says the two become one. And so what happens is that unless you yourself are complete in yourself, secure in yourself, unique in yourself, you can never ever be added to someone else because you're only looking to someone to meet your needs. God isn't going to bring someone to complete you. You're already complete in yourself. You're already complete in yourself. So wait until you know that you're ready. So you need to see that you do need to heal properly. To go through divorce, your spirit is crushed, you're broken-hearted, and only God, who is the Father, who is the healer of your spirit, is able to help you. Maybe the band could come. Does God understand and love you when you're going through a divorce? And I just want to say yes, yes, and yes. You know, Psalm 31 is just amazing. It's just a wonderful psalm. And it, to me, it describes such helpfulness in healing from divorce. And you understand that God understands what you're feeling, that God knows. Psalm 31, verse 9, "Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am in great distress. My sight is blurred because of my tears. My body and soul are withering away. I am dying from grief. My years shortened by sadness. Misery has drained my strength. I'm wasting away from within. I'm scorned by my enemies and despised by my neighbors. Even my friends are afraid to come near me. When they see me on the street, they turn the other way. I've been ignored as a broken pot." Let me tell you, that so describes the people that have spoken to me about their family breakdown. "I've heard rumors about me, and I'm surrounded by terror. My enemies are conspiring and plotting to take my life. But I am trusting in you, O Lord, saying you are my God, and my future is in your hands." No matter how difficult your separation is, your future is in God's hands. God knows today what a separated person is going through. And this psalm says, put your future in God's hands. No matter what your past has been, no matter how difficult and how horrible it is, no matter what failure or trouble it is that you've been in, you can put your future on the right track as you walk with God. Forgiveness has to come in. You may have to forgive. You may have to forgive yourself. There's no other way. Tonight, take the first step for your healing and ask God. Ask God to forgive you of your sin. Make a determination, a decision tonight that you're going to give your life to Jesus, that you're going to put your future in His hands, and that He's going to come alongside and help you. He understands today. The Bible says He draws near to you. You know, make God the center of your life. And then when things don't work, your center's always there. If your marriage was the center, what happens is when it fails, you go into kind of some weird orbit because the thing that you are relying on is gone. But when you make Jesus the center of your life, when you make Jesus the one that you orbit your life around, it doesn't matter what trouble and strife and the things you have to face, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always on your side. Your future is in His hands. And so today, maybe you've gone through divorce. Maybe you're going through separation. Maybe it's been a really difficult time and you need to take that first step. Get together with God. See, you're valuable today, not because of who you're with, not because of the marriage that you are in. You're valuable today because God says you're of value. He made you of so much value, He sent His Son on the cross to die for you so that you could have reconciliation with Him, so you could be right with Him and that He can walk alongside of you. Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. Stop walking alone through the difficult and most hardest time of your life. So as every eye is closed and every head is bowed, I just want to look across this congregation. And I just want to look around. If you today want to give your life to Christ, you're valuable tonight. He died for you. He loves you. He wants to draw near to you. If that's you tonight, the first step is saying, God, I want you to come into my life. I want to live my life for you. As I look around, is there anyone? Can you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray for you. Anyone at all? As I just look over this room tonight. Anyone who want to give your life to Jesus? You want to become a Christian? You want to start to trust God with your life? You want Him to come alongside you and help you as you go through these difficult times? If that's you tonight, can you just raise your hand? Anyone at all want to give your life to Christ? I'm just going to open up the altar in just a moment. We're not meant to go through things by ourselves. And the Holy Spirit was given to us because God understood we're not meant to go through things by ourselves. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. We don't actually need a comforter when everything's going great. We need a comforter when things are going bad, when things are going tough, when things aren't going the way that we thought or planned or hoped for. And tonight, as we're going to sing in just a moment, I want you to come. Nina, other members of staff, we're going to pray for you. We're going to put our arm around you. We're going to ask that you just receive from God tonight. God wants to help you. He wants to walk alongside you. So why don't you stand? We're going to sing something just now. And as they sing, I want you to come. And we're going to pray for you tonight. We're going to believe that God is going to do something great in your life. Don't go through this alone. If you need comfort tonight, come to the altar. We're going to pray.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.